this episode of the Naturist Living Show, Naturism in Paris.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome, dear listener, to episode 88 of the Naturist Living Show. My name is Stéphane Deschaine, and I'm your host for this podcast and the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And, this year was quite a year for naturism in France. I mean, we all think of France as being sort of the hotbed, the center for naturism, and in many ways it is. It's the number one destination with nearly 3.5 million visits. Naturist visits or naturist vacations, people practicing naturism, except 2 million of those are not French. They're not from France. They're visitors from outside France, which means the majority are not French people. And while France is a huge destination, massive resorts, as you've heard in other podcasts, like the one where I talk about our visits to Montalivet in France, and while you have a lot of nude beaches as well, there was a lot of development of nude beaches through the 60s and 70s, it's certainly not as accepted as you might think. Yes, in Germany, you can be nude in a public park like you are in the Englischer Gardens in Munich. But in France, if you are nude in a public park, you will be arrested and charged. Women cannot walk around top free as they do in Ontario and New York State and many other places. Not in France. Yes, women can be top-free on beaches. And yes, you can have magazines on the newsstand with top-free women, and you can see top-free women and nudity on television. But to actually be nude in public is illegal and will get you arrested quite quickly and quite easily. You don't see as successful of a world naked bike ride in Paris as you do in some of the other cities, because that's been the attitude. There are still parts of France that are very restrictive. But there are a lot of naturist clubs, far more than almost any other country I've been at. And when we were in Paris this year, my wife and I, Linda and I, decided to go and participate in one of the naturist pool swims. I was there because it was my 50th birthday party, if you will. It's not a party. When Linda asked me what I wanted to do for my 50th, I said, well, I don't want a party. I'm not really a party person. What I said I'd love to do is travel, and I'd like to go to Paris and not have anything to do. No going to the Eiffel Tower or anything touristy. We just went to Paris to sit in coffee shop and drink wine, eat cheese and bread, and wander the streets and go to the parks and just enjoy being there in someplace different, in a different culture than what we're used to and a different pace of life. But going for a nature swim seemed like a good idea too, a nice relaxing thing. But what's neat is after that, this was in April through the summer, we had a few events that were quite groundbreaking. One of them was there was participation in a very big fair in France, and the organizers at the APNEL is the group, and they had a booth, and they were nude in this booth. So imagine a large event where thousands of people are visiting, and one of the booths, the people are nude, and they were doing some small body painting to anybody who wanted to participate. And some of the people who were there, some of the visitors actually took their clothes and joined them. So that got a lot of attention. And then shortly after that, a group proposed, well, a counselor in Paris got support from one of the groups, naturist groups, proposed that the city of Paris should have an area in a park for naturists, because there are none in Paris. The swim that we went to is indoors in a pool that's specifically rented for that event, as in many of the major cities in North America where people are organizing indoor swims. The difference is theirs is several times a week, and in most cities in North America, it's maybe once a month. But there was no outdoor place to go and sunbathe like there is in Munich. And so it was proposed and accepted. So you're really getting a sudden growth and development and pushing in France of naturism, which is fantastic to hear. France was a leader, and in the last few decades really stopped leading the world in terms of naturism. So it's good to see the passion and the activism coming back. But we had a lovely visit with the folks who organized the naturist swims in Paris. It's the Association of Paris Naturists, l'Association des Naturistes de Paris. And one of the main organizers is actually a native English speaker. So that made it very easy for me to sit down with him so that you can learn all about them without me having to worry about doing translations after the fact. So we're here at the Association Naturiste de Paris. And so what's your name and what do you do with the ANP?
I'm Laurent Luft and I'm the president.
The president? And you don't sound like you're very French.
No, I'm Australian. So I think I'm the first Australian president that the ANP has had.
So how does an Australian end up in Paris?
Well, it's a long story. Basically, I'm a history buff, I'm a historian, so I'm attracted to places where there is a lot of history, and I've always loved Paris, and it was a dream to live here, and 11 years ago I did it, and once I arrived in Paris, I discovered the pool, so for several years I was just a member, and eventually I became a board member because I wanted to give back something to the association. And then as things happen in life, I was elected president, and now I'm trying as hard as possible to make the club a big success.
So it's a good thing, because your French is also excellent, of course, but since the Naturist Living Show is an English language podcast, our listeners will appreciate your skills with the English language. So tell us about the history of the ANP. Mm-hmm.
The association was created in 1953, so it's 63 years old now, and that was at the same time that the Fédération Française de Naturisme was created. So the early years of the 1950s was a big boom period for naturism in France and in Europe in general, and as the decades went, naturism grew. So as you know, when it got to the 1970s, it was a huge boom industry in France, with more and more centres opening up. And at the time, there were several clubs in Paris, each with a pool. So there were different associations that maintained naturist swim evenings. And now we're the only ones. So things have turned back a little bit. It's not as easy as it used to be. But that doesn't mean that there's less demand for it. We're actually on the increase. We have been so for the last 6 months. We've had a lot of new people sign up in this last 6 months. But what impresses me the most is that we have a lot of new young people. So when I say young, like 18 to 30-year-olds, who are not only here just to swim or to work out in the gym, but they actually want to become involved. And so it's very reassuring, because it means that, as I said, the association is 63 years old, and now that we have such young people becoming actively involved in its running, it means that the association will still be here in another 63 years.
Well, that's great. So what does the ANP do? When people are joining the ANP, what's it for? You are obviously not, you don't have a property, you're not a landed club, so you must organize activities.
That's right. In fact, until last year, all we did really was swim and work out in the gym here three times a week. However, we've now started launching external activities. So, because we are called the Association des Naturistes de Paris, we're not called the Association des Naturistes of this swimming pool. So, we decided that it's time to get out there a little bit and to discover the other clubs in the region and even further afield. So we started off by joining in on a naked bowling event that was held in Belgium, organized by a club in Lille in the north of France. And from there, we started making new friends, because basically the ANP had been a sort of closed club for a very, very long time, and people didn't even know us. We didn't do anything externally. So now that we're making a name for ourselves further afield, we're attracting more people. Maybe perhaps that's why we're attracting more young people as well, because we're out there. And basically now we have the swimming pool and gym three times a week, every week throughout most of the year. At least once a month we organize an activity outside. So for example, in February, we organized our own bowling night here in Paris for the first time ever. And we blitzed the world record. There was a world record for nude bowling of 89 people, and we had 136. So that certainly made a name for us. And since then, we've been invited to a lot of other clubs, and we go on nude hikes. We go to clubs for nude lunches and barbecues. 2 weeks ago, we organized a nude jazz day. So with our very own lifeguard here from the pool, who is a jazz musician. So he's a naturist and a lifeguard and a jazz musician. So he's got it all.
So, and how big is the club? How many people do you get at your events?
At the pool or at the events? At the swimming pool, we have an average of around 90 people per session. So it's quite popular. As the warmer months come, the attendance increases. So we can get up to around 150 people in June when it really is warm, because the roof actually comes off in summer. And last summer was a particularly hot one, and we had a very, very good attendance. But this year, for the very first time, even in winter, when it was extremely cold, we did have evenings where we passed 100 people. So if we get over 100 people in winter, I can only imagine how many we're going to get when the warmer months come this year. But as I was saying, that's all to do with the increase of membership that we have. We're getting more visitors, more members, so there are more people in general, and it's much more positive than it ever has been. As for our external activities, the attendance is lower from the club. We would get between 50 to 40 people attending. So there's a smaller group. But as I said, it's only something that we've started doing. It's been about 6 months now. So although we have around 350 members, most of them, or especially those who've been here for a very long time, they're still getting used to the idea of the association being more open to the outside world. So little by little, they're starting to join in these external activities. And it'll happen. They'll all come round.
That's good. Now, you said that there used to be several clubs, but it's more difficult now, you said. So why? What's changed? What's different from the 1970s?
There seems to be a less openness towards nudity now. For example, if you go to a public pool during normal hours, you'll find that people don't even take a shower naked. So even though the men's change rooms and women's change rooms are separated, you'll find people showering with their Speedos on, which personally I don't find very clean. So there is this body shame that seems to have emerged in the last couple of decades.
Now, that's going to surprise a lot of people who are listening from North America or even Australia or New Zealand, because everybody thinks of France as the great mecca for naturism. And France is the place that built Cap d'Agde and Montalivet and Heliomonde and all those massive resorts. So what happened?
I don't know where it comes, but there's a lot of taunting that goes on when kids find out that other kids... but that happens everywhere. But a lot of kids... This association, for example, had a lot more children and families 20 years ago than it does today. So okay. we find it harder to... Although our hours are also... We're open quite late in the evening, so at 9 o'clock. We've got a lot of people here who have children at home, and you'll have either the mother or the father coming to swim, and the one who doesn't come stays at home with the children. And then in summer, they all go to naturist resorts together. But as a family activity, a lot of the clubs today, they have a lot of trouble attracting attracting families the way they used to.
Well, I have two theories. I mean, the same thing is being said in North America. I think in Europe, one of the problems is the internet and the ubiquity of American media. The idea of that top free or topless is not okay. The idea of body shame and all that, that's what you see in the videos and the movies, which now, because of how quickly things transfer, a movie opens from the, you know, Star Wars opened in Paris, the same day it opened in New York. So the images and the ideas culturally are being spread here from the Americans, which are very prudic. I can't even think of the English word.
Prude.
Very prudish. Yes.
Perhaps actually, yeah. It's true that you see less topless women around today than 20 years ago, and in fact, I remember visiting Paris when I was 11 and seeing people on Île Saint-Louis on the Seine actually sunbathing naked. And for the last, I think, 15 years or so, it's been illegal to do that. So the police have cracked down on it. So perhaps it's also the government who reacts before anyone else does because they don't want anyone to be offended. That could play a part of it as well. In fact, we had an issue here at the pool. As I said, the roof comes off in summer. You can't see now, but not far from here, there's a building occupied by students. Apparently, someone complained once that they could see naked people. So we were asked not to walk around the pool naked when the roof was off. However, the building's so far away that you could probably make out that there are naked people, but you can't see any more than that. You can't actually focus on what the naked people have. So
if you were all wearing beige bathing suits, you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's correct. So it was a knee-jerk reaction by the local city council that I think has been forgotten over time. At least I hope so. So we don't seem to have any problems anymore.
I think I am also going to blame the naturists themselves for all the problems that we are having as a movement, because it's not a movement anymore. For most, you know, you go to places, to a lot of these resorts, there's a lot more dressed people than nude, which was never allowed, and nobody talks about philosophy. They just talk about being naked, and it's not about being naked.
Okay, well, I'm quite opinionated there. One of our prime rules here is that all activities have to be practiced naked. So whether it be in the pool, during the yoga sessions, up in the gym, during aerobics, in the sauna, whatever, no one is allowed to wear anything. So nudity, we are a naturist club. Naturism is the rule. There's no exception to that. So the thing is that naturists hope that the textile world will be tolerant with us. And so in turn, a lot of naturists try to be tolerant with textiles. But sometimes that tolerance can go a little bit too far, because when we allow textiles to come into a naturist club, for example, and keep their clothes on, that sort of stretches the tolerance level a little too far for me. And it's the same thing here. So if someone wants to come and they say, look, I just want to try out your swim session for one evening, but I don't want to be naked, we have to say to them, well, I'm sorry, but you can't try it out.
No, and you say tolerance, but that doesn't sound like a fair deal anyway. Can I go to any other pool in Paris and swim naked today?
Absolutely not.
So there's no tolerance at all, is there?
No.
So why should you have that tolerance here?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the way I see it. There are associations and clubs for everybody. So this is an association where naturists come and they want to be naked. So there's no reason for us to be tolerant towards a piece of cloth around the body. And we never ever have any problem with that. Nobody complains. So people accept that as the norm, and it works very well for us. And I think that it's one of the reasons for the club's success. But going back to our external activities, actually, the jazz day that we organized a couple of weeks ago, the club that welcomed us, when I told them that even if it's a cold day, our members would all be naked. We had a meeting over there before a month or so before the event. They looked a little surprised, and I said, "Well, we're the ANP. We don't do anything dressed." And so suddenly, one of the board members of that club, she said, "Well, if they're going to be naked, I will be too." So on the actual day, when they saw us all put our clothes in our little backpacks and put them away for the day, the other club joined in as well. So we're trying to set an example.
Good. Yeah, sometimes it just takes a leader. And do you ever talk about the values behind naturism? Why we are not wearing clothes?
Well, we like to think of ourselves as militant. So we try to adhere to there's an ethic, there's a naturist ethic, and it's more than just taking off your clothes. Already the word naturism, it has nature in it, and so some people associate that with nature, the trees and all of that, but I associate it more with the fact that being naked is natural. So for me, naturism is natural, right? So whether I'm naked in a pine forest all by myself, or on a deserted beach, or in my own home, which is made of concrete, it's natural. And so we try to sort of pass that ethic on to people. And this younger generation I was talking about, They seem to want to return to the origins of naturism. It's a much more militant form of naturism. They don't accept textiles the way the most recent generation has. So there's a lot of hope for the movement, at least for the next 20 or 30 years.
Oh, that's good, and I agree with that. My point's always been, when I first looked into how do we attract young people, and I said, what was I like when I was young? And I was an idealist, and I wanted to make the world a better place. And the naturism wasn't about, because I joined as a young man, it was not about just getting naked. It was about improving ourselves and how we view ourselves and stop being ashamed and all that. So I think when you hear about that the way to attract young people is to water it down even further, because I've heard people say that, I think they totally misunderstand. You're not trying to attract 100% of the youth. You're trying to attract those who find the idea interesting. Mm. So I think you're doing the right thing, and I think you're seeing it too.
Well, we've tried all sorts of things to attract young people in the past, and one of them was free entry, and it didn't work. For years and years, the club offered free entry, and we never really saw an increase in young people. And about a year ago, we decided that it wasn't worth charging nothing. So we started charging an entry fee to young visitors, and we also increased the annual fee for young people. So it's still a lot cheaper than for an adult. But when I say young, what we call young in the club is 18 to 27. So anyone who's younger than 27 has a lower annual rate than anyone who's over 27 and over. Since we increased the price, and since we made payment obligatory for people coming as visitors, young people, we've actually seen an increase. I can't explain why, but the suggestion actually came from young people. They thought that it seemed a bit suspicious that we were giving free entry. So they thought, you know, if this club isn't charging anything, there must be something strange going on. Now that we're charging something, there's no suspicion. We seem to be attracting them. And the other day, for the first time, I actually looked around and I actually felt old, because I was surrounded by young people. I thought, oh my God, I'm actually creeping up into a new generation here. So it's a great thing. It's all the work that I put into attracting young people is making me feel old.
That's fantastic. And as a historian, have you studied the history of the movement as well?
A little bit. And one thing that I found very interesting is that in the very early days, when naturism was launched both in Germany and in France, the Germans chose to practice naturism with a certain openness. They didn't hide their names. They didn't hide behind big walls. And so people saw that what they were doing was basically just getting naked in the sunshine. And in those days, it was all about exercise, and they were vegetarians. They didn't smoke and they didn't drink and all that. But people actually saw what they were doing. There was no secret. Whereas in France, at the very same time, they chose to create clubs hidden behind very high walls. In any magazines or any sort of releases, they wouldn't use their surnames. Or just the first letter of their surname they would use. So basically they were hidden from the rest of society. And so it became seen as something, well, going back to that word, suspicious. So if something can't be talked about openly, and if you can't use your real name, then there must be something to hide. And even though today people who organise the naturist movement here are much more open, that we use our real names, and we don't hide behind any false identities. There's nothing to be ashamed of, because there's no shameful practice happening. That mentality sort of has stuck. So it's hard to convince some people that that there isn't anything weird going on. And that's one of the reasons that I do encourage people to talk openly about it, because when non-naturists see that normal people practice naturism, it actually changes everything. So if they see people on, you know, the television reports that show Cap Dagd and people wearing latex and all of that stuff, that doesn't help our movement at all. But when people realize that a colleague or a family member or a neighbor or a friend who they see as someone who's totally normal is a naturist, it changes the perception completely, and that person is then more likely to give it a go, his or herself. And I actually have had people, I don't convert people, I just talk about it honestly, and a lot of friends and ex-colleagues and others have converted to naturism just through that.
That's good, and it's true. Yes, we're staying in Montmartre near the Moulin Rouge, which is a very much a lot of sex clubs around. And this morning, as I'm walking by, I noticed there's one place that advertises massage naturiste, naturist massage. So, because to a lot of people, Cap Dag, naturism means nude. So if you're going to have nude people giving a massage, it's a naturist massage, right? That's a problem.
Mm. Yeah, it's a terrible misconception. They've twisted the word, and it's grown to become something else. So it's like fighting a losing battle sometimes. That you've got this word that, as I said, should be associated with nature, the natural concept of being nude, and then you've got sex clubs and all sorts of other things using that very word. So there's always going to be an uphill battle, and we should never, ever give up.
So I hope that this enthusiasm and this return to the idealism and the philosophy of naturism that I've been espousing, as you know, for a long time, is catching on in many places, like it obviously is with these folks, and it obviously is in France and in Paris. And I hope that other people around the world are returning to the roots, that this is a movement, not just a recreational activity. That's so great to hear. And I think that bodes really well for where we're going and for growing, because I think that's what attracted people to this movement in the beginning. And when it was reduced to nothing but a recreational activity you do occasionally, it lost its meaning and people lost passion. And I'm so excited to hear from folks like that who have that passion. So if you know of other, if you're passionate and if you know of others who are passionate, would love to hear more about you or about the events, please send me a note, send me an email. You can call the show, country code 1, area code 905-473-6060, or toll free in US and Canada, 1-888-373-9124, or Skype us, Bear Oaks. All those numbers get you into the main phone system for Bear Oaks, and the show, the Naturist Living Show extension, is 333. So that'll be all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. I thank you, as always, for listening. Again, my name is Stéphane Deschaines. I was your host for this podcast, and I'm the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And you can find links to the Naturist of Paris and other items that I mentioned in the show notes on the website at naturistliving.bearoaks.ca. I hope you enjoy this episode and that you'll keep with us and join us again for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.